Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hope you're having a good Friday, April 9th, 2021. Thanks to Stan Weber for joining us in studio. We talked to Gary Lezak, former Royals catcher Mike McFarland. Tim Grenhardt will be next, and then Bob Herrig to talk about the Masters. But right now, we're very happy to be joined by the new AD at KU, hopefully making the first of many appearances on the show, Travis Goff. Travis, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good to be here.
Thank you very much for joining us. So I'm sure you've been asked this plenty of times. So what's this first week on the job been like? Has it been just a whirlwind and trying to get your feet set? What has your experience been like so far?
Yeah, the feet aren't set at all. It would be a block every time, but it's been a really fun whirlwind just getting in here Tuesday, having the family with me, some extended family who are in the area, which has been special to have them be part of this, and then just getting a chance to meet the coaches, the staff. It's been a lot of fun, guys.
I don't know, but I think it might have been a charge call the way the officials call this block charge now, so I think you would have got credit for the charge anyway. Yeah, just get there in time and you're right. Doesn't matter if your feet are set, so you're good.
You got it.
So you, if I understand correctly, you met your wife when you were down at Tulane, and you talked a lot about your wife and your kids at the press conference. Have they been back to Lawrence with you many times before this, or was this kind of like a chance for you to, has this been like a chance for you to introduce your family to the town where you went to college and go down memory lane at all? Like, how's that been?
Yeah, hey, Nate, good to hear from you, man. My wife's been back here with me a couple times, but those were for, you know, a couple buddies' weddings and that type of thing, so a very different experience, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. If you can imagine. And then the kids have not been back, 7, 5, and almost 2, and it's been really cool because they know Dad's a Jayhawk, and I've had to kind of keep a low profile on that over the last, you know, course, certainly over the course of their lives. And it's been fun for them to just be able to kind of soak this up, understand this Jayhawk thing, and again, the welcoming has just been remarkable. And so it's going to be a family affair because that's the only way I know how. And as much as everybody in this career works and gives everything they can to student-athletes and to these programs, the family is going to be ingrained. So I'm really excited about that.
Travis Goff is our guest. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting from your press conference is when you talked about your experience at Tulane. And I was just curious if you would elaborate on that a little bit and how that experience at Tulane after Katrina, how did that change your perspective and prepare you for future challenges that you're going to see as an AD?
Yeah, great question. Wouldn't have traded that experience for anything in the world. And, you know, you relatively young guy, a younger manager, a younger leader at that time of my life and prior to Katrina, you know, I thought I understood what real challenges or real adversity look like, you know, certainly in college athletics, just having done it for, you know, handful of years leading into that. And Hurricane Katrina came around and changed everything, right, in terms of just perspective, in terms of, you know, kind of the fortitude that it takes and continuing to try to stand tall and be a, you know, a positive force, an optimistic force, somebody who could have a hand in developing culture, building morale, because that's a lot of what had to happen down there at Tulane. The athletics part of campus was under anywhere from, you know, 6 to 10 feet of water, and everybody had to scatter. Students scattered all over the country. The university shut down that fall. And one of the great decisions from the leader, the athletic director at the time, Rick Dixon, was to find a way to allow those fall sports to compete, you know, led by football. And football that fall, a lot of people would have forgotten this. Football played 12 football games, and they played it in 12 different stadiums.
Wow.
So literally vagabonds just kind of moving their way across the South and the Southeast. And that decision to allow them to compete and kind of carry the flag for the university saved Tulane Athletics as you know it today, you know, in terms of now being an American Athletic Conference member and having had some really good success down there. So just being a part of that small administrative team and doing anything and everything I could to just have a hand in that slow rebuild and that kind of churn back to normalcy, which frankly didn't come for probably another 4 years after Katrina.
it's really, we were talking about that yesterday, just, you know, on the show, about how the perspective it must give you to deal with a literal crisis. Because, you know, some people would say that the Kansas Athletics Department was in crisis here before you took the job. The situation with the football coach, the past 10 years of the situation with football, the way the last athletics director tenure ended, the NCAA investigation and all that, people could say, look, that's an athletics department in crisis. You dealt with an actual literal crisis, so I'm guessing that gives you perspective on the challenges that you're faced with at the University of Kansas.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make, and I do think, without a question, it provides me great confidence coming into KU. And one of the learnings for me has been, hey, be diligent in your thought process and in your decision-making. Don't rush that, and then don't try not to, which can be at times quite challenging. Try not to have decisions made based on emotions, because this is an emotional industry, college athletics, as everybody knows, and there's a lot of energy swirling around it, you know, really at all times with fans and alums and, you know, media and all that great stuff. And just, again, the Katrina experience helped provide me with, I think, that level-headedness that I needed personally and that I think you need to have in this career in college athletics.
Travis Goff is our guest. Let's talk about football for a moment. We've heard Tim Grunhard, who's going to be coming on the show next. He has said in the past that Kansas needs to find their Pat Fitzgerald. And you know all about Pat Fitzgerald because you work closely with him and the football program. And I'm just curious, maybe what are some of the things that you take away from watching Pat Fitzgerald and the success he's had with that football program that can help you find the right guy to turn Kansas football around?
Yeah, no, that's a really great statement to make. I think every program in the country would be well suited to find their version of Pat Fitzgerald. And, you know, I think a couple takeaways from that and what I witnessed and maybe was a small part of. One, it's literally brick by brick, right? And at Northwestern, a place that doesn't have a great tradition going way back, in fact, a bad tradition, in other words, up until more modern times, and a place that has some innate disadvantages that are just built in, especially in the Big Ten. It's going to be a brick-by-brick approach, and I was able to just witness that and understand and see what that looked like for Coach Fitz and how, again, there was just an intentionality and a commitment to building that foundation and then, you know, trying each and every year raise the foundation a little bit higher. And so what I would describe is, you know, it's the whole idea of building a sustained program, and that only comes with time, that only comes with, you know, comprehensive commitment. And then that comes with culture as well. And it's hard sometimes to put your finger on what culture is and what that looks like in a given football program. But again, that's not one four-year cycle of student-athletes. That's multiple four-year cycles or five-year cycles nowadays. And being able to see that and understand that and be a small part of it was really an eye-opening experience and I think certainly some application down here at KU.
And we're visiting with Kansas Athletics Director Travis Goff. All right, Travis, if I had my timeline right, you would have been at Kansas right after me, in the J school, by the way.
Oh boy!
So you know, proud to share that with you. So you would have been there during the Terry Allen era, and then would you have been still at Kansas when Mangino was hired?
I was just kind of heading out the door, but yes, I was there when Mark was hired, and then. I was there. One of the really neat things, and I'll come back to football in a minute, but as a student working in the athletic department and then soon after, right after graduation, in fact, I was in an entry-level position that was so fortunate to have been created for me, and I was there observing Drew Jennings in that interim tenure and was able just to kind of pick up on the process to go hire this guy named Bill Self, and then, of course, the transition into a permanent athletic director, seeing the way in which Coach Mangino was building that football program. So it was really, I think, a great time to be in the athletic department, especially as a young guy just trying to absorb and listen.
So what was your job?
I worked in the Williams Fund, so in the fundraising arm.
So you mentioned, I'm going to go back to football in a second, but since you mentioned it, It was interesting because, yeah, Drew Jennings was the interim AD when this legendary hire of Bill Self was made. There was an interim AD when Bill Self signed a lifetime contract right before you took the job. And I'm curious, you had to have been going through interviews at the time that was all happening. Were you kind of kept up to speed on all of that? And what did you know about it? And what was your reaction to it? Because that is a little bit of an interesting coincidence, what happened with Bill Self back then and then what happened with him right before you took the job.
Yeah, I think pretty fitting, quite frankly, and Drew Jennings and then Kurt Watson, two legendary Jayhawks, one bringing him in and then one locking him down with Chancellor Girard on the contract here just recently. You know, I'd probably be moving into kind of the final stages of the interview process the day in which that was announced. And I think I got a really short heads up on that just before I walked in that afternoon into the final interview. You know, my reaction was fantastic. Great decision. No better ambassador. So happy to have him locked in and continue to move that program forward, continue to compete at the highest level. And, you know, from my perspective, I'm glad they did it then because it allows me to come in and just be focused on the many other things that we want to attack and begin to address.
We have Travis Goff on the show. So you knew that Nate was a journalism student there. And look, you've met many challenges, and you've done very well for yourself, obviously. How difficult was it to follow in his footsteps? I'm sure you heard a lot about Nate, and he did this, and he did that. Yeah. Was it daunting for you back then?
You know, Steven, I'm glad you bring that up,
right?
Because even today, we all are in Nate's shadows. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's yeah. plenty of J-School alums out there that will never reach Nate's brilliance. And no, honestly, no, Nate's an incredible Jayhawk and J-School representative, and Steven, I know he's adopted you into the Jayhawk family.
For sure.
He pushes me away all the time, so he forgets about me, but I'm here. And you know what? I'm in his shadow right now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
so.
Well, the statue hasn't been built yet, but I think it's going to be right outside the Dole Center at some point in time.
Wow. Know,
yeah, that's number four on the priority list down here.
So, and you mentioned being in the Williams Fund. You know, our buddy Greg Gurley works in the Williams Fund. And Steven?
Now this is, if Greg gets mad, so be it. Now, were you aware that your first day on the job was the first time Greg has worn a sports coat to work in several years, and he took quite a bit of ridicule in the basketball office from this? Did it work? Were you impressed when you saw Greg in a sports coat?
Listen, it worked well. I mean, I thought, gosh, that guy's just got it.
Right, there it is.
But listen, to Greg's credit, he wasn't hiding that. I heard him probably three or four times that first day telling anybody with ears that this was the first time he'd worn a sports coat as long as he could remember. So he owned it well.
Was it a little snug? Be honest, was it a little snug on him?
Oh, it was pretty custom fitting.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So, all right. So Travis, to get back to the football situation, because I the reason I brought up when you were in school, I was there during the transition from Glenn Mason to Terry Allen happened while I was a student. I think it was between my sophomore and junior year, so I got half and half of Mason and Terry Allen. And at the time, the Terry Allen era seemed kind of like a disaster as a KU fan, and now looking back on it, like the last 10 years have been way worse, to be perfectly honest. And that sucks. I mean, that hurts me. I'm curious, like, from your perspective as an alum, you had to have paid attention, even though you were working at other athletic departments over these past 10 years. It's your school. You had to have watched. It had to have eaten at you to see the way the team has struggled, especially compared to the success that we saw when Mangino was there. Did you have some strong thoughts while you were there about, like, what went right when Mangino was there? What has to, or when Glenn Mason was there, what has to happen? And did you have some thoughts when you were watching from afar, like, they've gotten away from this, and they've got to get back to this?
Well, I mean, I think for me, being a Kansas guy, right, being from the state, and I always have a you know, soft place in my heart for Kansans who are great Jayhawks, right? And you think about the great basketball players here and football, and I think that's one of the things. It's not maybe the number one, but certainly as I look back over those great Mangino years, there were some great Kansas kids really make it a huge impact on those teams. And so I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is just, you know, seeing the buy-in, and again, I kind of come back to culture that was, you know, developed by those teams, the leadership, and kind of, I think, the handing down of leadership and ownership from class to class. I mean, that was something that I was certainly kind of able to absorb early in that tenure, and then as I left and was kind of watching and rooting for the Hawks from afar. You know, so I think that's part of it, and I think those are some of the attributes that I've been able to see and be part of at Northwestern with Coach Fitz. And, you know, for me, you know, was it frustrating? Was it difficult? I think for every Jayhawk and every alum, yeah, it's been challenging from a football perspective. We all know what we can be. We all know what our capabilities and potential is here because it's been done. There's a lot of places, frankly, it just has never been done. It's been done here, and it's been done in not that more distant of a time frame. So I think at times some of the frustration would be about lack of continuity, right? Just mm-hmm. knowing enough about building a football program to know, God, you're just not going to get there if you can't have and maintain some continuity, especially at a place like KU that does have some innate challenges with it. So I think that continuity word is critical as we look forward.
I know now you've had a chance to observe things for a few days and talk to you know, both coaches and student athletes in the football program. Do you have a certain timeline that you'd like to meet when it comes to hiring a football coach? How do you feel like that process is going to play out over the next few weeks?
Yeah, no, it's really, I had, you know, a few weeks kind of leading into this just through the interview process and taking in as much information and reading and listening as much as possible. So I feel like there really was an opportunity and preparation for the interviews, but certainly now then in thinking about how to apply if I was afforded this tremendous opportunity. So I felt good coming in on Tuesday just about where what were the things I was looking for and what were the things I was missing coming in. I mean, I said it in every opportunity I've had. I don't show up in Lawrence pretending to know exactly what Kansas football needs, right? And it would be, I don't know what the right word is, but irresponsible, quite frankly, to show up and pretend to understand all those dynamics. So it really has been about these first few days. You know, it's only, I think, day three or four. Coming in, listening, learning, talking to people on the staff, talking to people in football, right? Talking directly to Coach Jones, talking to his staff. I've been at practice twice, you know, so really prioritized that in a bit of a manic schedule and a manic few days. And just being around the guys, watching the energy, watching the buy-in, watching the way in which they're working this spring, I think has been wonderful to see. And then, again, the discussions and things I'm able to absorb. No real clear timeline. I wasn't going to allow myself, really in week one at least, to establish or commit to a timeline that, frankly, may not have had all the pieces of information it needed to then go down a particular path and execute this thing for the long haul for Kansas football.
Yeah, the analogy a buddy of mine told me one time was if you go to dinner and you get food put in front of you, do you add salt and pepper before you even taste it? You know, do you find out,
right.
You know, because if you have that preconceived notion of what something needs before you even dig into it, you know, you're jumping to conclusions. So I like hearing that. All right, Travis, one of the elephant in the room, so to speak, is this NCAA investigation that's looming right now and the case that's going along with it. Your predecessor had a deal in his contract that if Kansas went on probation, he got more years added on to his contract. I'm curious, just when it came to the interview process, the negotiation, was the NCAA investigation a factor in your decision-making process? How much of a factor was it in terms of this process of taking this job?
Yeah, late in the interview process, when I was, you know, emerging certainly as a finalist, as a, you know, late candidate, they did a great job. Chancellor Girard, his staff, the committee, and really the voice came directly from Chancellor Girard and just giving, you know, an overview of the case and where we're at in terms of KU and the overall knowledge. And that was greatly appreciated and I think indicative of just the commitment to get off on a great foot of trust and all those other things. No part of, you know, that process and continuing to move in the search, there was never a point where I was going to shy away. And I think, you know, it's been well documented. The university and Chancellor Gerards and the leadership support of Coach Self even prior to the contract extension last week. And, you know, my confidence lies in a great institution with incredible people both leading it and then at every layer of the organization in athletics and across campus. And I know that's without a shadow of a doubt how we're going to navigate this thing and navigate it successfully ahead.
Travis Goff has been our guest, the athletics director at the University of Kansas. And look, I've said way before you even got the job, so they, you know, this isn't me being like Greg Gurley putting a coat on and sucking up here. But I said like I don't think this is always the case, but I felt strongly that Kansas needed somebody who wanted this job, not just an athletics director job, but wanted the Kansas job and had pride in what it means to be a Jayhawk and what the athletics department has been and can be again. And it just it comes through to me that's a big part of your story here. And I'm just curious for you, how significant do you think that is? How important is it for this particular case in this time? And maybe in what ways do you think that will help inform the way you do this job?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, a great point. You know, I would look back for a minute on the interview process. And again, credit to Chancellor Gerard and the committee. You know, it really needed to be about my experience and my preparedness for this position. That group is so seasoned, knows that the opportunity here at KU, and certainly knows the challenges here at KU, but more focused on the opportunity. They weren't going to make an emotional decision around a Jayhawk being at the helm. If that was part of it, gosh, that'd be a really great added bonus. But it was really going to be about experience, preparedness, you know, the fortitude to stand through the challenges in college athletics and certainly at KU. So that was a neat part of it because I wasn't hanging my hat on being a Jayhawk and, you know, having the degrees, growing up in a KU family and having started my career here. That was just something that was a nice little add-on kind of at the end. So I do think, though, guys, it's really unique in this industry. There aren't a lot alums out there who are leading athletic programs at their institution. And I think as you kind of progress in your career, you learn how to set aside some of those emotions that I described to you early. Mm-hmm. But when you have truly in a way that only an alum can have, the care and the passion and the belief in that university and that athletics program, I think it's going to help you get through the road ahead and the journey ahead. And then, of course, for me, you know, younger family, we're going to come in and dig roots as deep as we possibly can. And so the whole mindset, and again, I think there's an advantage as an alum, this is for the long haul. And this is going to be, I think, a story of continuity, not just in this position, but in football, obviously in men's basketball, and within our other programs, because that's what we need to do to build sustained, successful programs here.
Travis, congratulations. Thanks a lot for the time, and we look forward to talking to you again hopefully soon.
Nate, Steven, appreciate you guys a lot and look forward to seeing you.
Thank you very much. That's Travis Goff, the new AD at Kansas. Wipe the smile off your face. You look too happy now, Nate.
I'm a fan of everything he's had to say so far. I am.
Come in here
and you know,
knock him down a few rungs on the ladder. He's too happy.
Let me have my moment because you know I have not been a fan of a lot of the things that have happened around my my alma mater over the last few years.
Stand up and like the spotlight's on you.
It's not on me.
This is your moment.
It's not my moment.
This is one moment in time.
It's shining moment.
Hey, you've been taking a beating on this show for a while. Come on.
I have. It's like, well, this guy's so negative about his own school. It's like, well, because...
In what regard?
Well, because I...
That's right.
What?
This guy... Yeah, let me tell you something. This guy today...
Yeah, he's on.
Certainly not yesterday. Not in the last week or so. Razor sharp today. You could shave your face with Jake today.
I'm feeling it.
In his comments.
I even loved his answer about the whole thing about being a Jayhawk. He said, look, that wasn't what the interview process was about. That wasn't what I hung my hat on. I'm qualified for the job. And he said the commitment you have to have through difficult decisions, you know, and that has been lacking at Kansas too. But I think it matters a lot that he actually cares about the university.
Let me speak for you and tell you what you were most thrilled with in that whole interview. That you were that in the first time you talked to the new AD, you were able to ask him if Greg Gurley's coat was fitting too snug. Of all the things that you, I look over that you were most proud of, he says that and he looks at me and nods like, you know.
I like the fact that Gurley's walking around the office. Like, hey, first time I wore a suit in like a year.
Yeah, but it was we'd already the joke was made. We already said it. We were done.
Well, you got to hammer it home.
And then
well, that's what you did.
He takes a moment and goes, well, be honest, was it the coat a little snug there? Let me ask you, Jake. What do you think, Gurley, listening to the interview? Like, what do you think he's going through his mind?
No, I mean,
he ain't listening.
That's like, yeah, you know, that
not,
is.
But he'll probably go
like
back and listen to the podcast.
He'd be sending us several inappropriate text messages
he'll
right now.
He'll probably go back and listen to the podcast.
But that's like,
though.
You know, I mean, if you're in a fight, you know, you're boxing.
I'm not.
You knock a guy down. You don't need to go land one more jab while he's down.
What happens in MMA though? You get the guy down and you go till the ref stops the fight.
Unless you get disqualified for kneeing someone.
Well, that wasn't a knee in the face. That was a love tap.
Pretty close.
That was a love tap.
I mean, I'm certainly not going there.
You guys have to admit that one's just set that up on a tee for me. What am I supposed to do?
What are you blaming him?
Carlos Santana, take a pitch.
I'm not supposed to take a swing when you throw that right down the middle. I'm Salvi. I'm not Perez.
Fine.
You put one right down the middle, I'm gonna take a little swing at it.
Salvi will take a walk this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, my friend.
I wasn't taking that pitch. That was too easy.
Instead of Salvi Dong, we're like Selective Salvi now, hashtag.
Dude, thank you, my friend.
Dude said that I was going to be jumping out of a cupcake at birthday parties. I could at least.
But that seems somewhat accurate. I mean, I don't think that's a joke.
I couldn't even be mad. I was laughing.
I could actually see that happening.
There comes little Nate
that's
jumping
at least
out of
plausible.
A cupcake.
One of the funniest things that's happened on this show for a while.
All right, Jake.
I was a little disappointed that Travis didn't say, yeah, oh, yeah, it was a little snow.
No, he'll get there.
He
first week,
made
man.
A joke
you're
about,
disappointed
oh, yeah,
that
button
your
was
only number
life.
Four on his list.
Well, I just like the fact
true.
That he added Gurley and said, yeah, Greg was pretty proud of you. You hear him say it three or four times.
Anybody who had ears. Yeah. He said,
hey, everybody. So just before we break, your reaction to Travis Goff and anything that he had to say.
I mean,
overall.
It's a breath of fresh air, and I think everything he's saying is right. Now he's got to follow through with the action, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it because
you're a man of action. Words are one thing, but you want action.
But look, we haven't had either here at the University of Kansas.
Oh, you had some pretty good words.
Well, yeah, we've had words.
In what
but
regard?
Zero action.
In
but there,
what
was some words, there were some words thrown out there a lot.
Right.
You know?
Not the right ones.
Right.
And it's to have a Kansas guy. And you know, look, I love hearing this is his final destination. He's got nowhere else to go. This is his home. He, you know, he wants to lay roots down. He's got a young family. I think he would like nothing more than to raise his family in Lawrence, Kansas. And
is this your final destination?
I'm not going anywhere. I mean, that's up to Chad. I mean, I don't know.
Chad?
I don't know if it's my final destination.
I'm
not planning on going anywhere,
right.
But, you know, that's not up to me.
We have a Zoom meeting at 10:15.
So. I knew this was going to happen.
And Tim Grunhard will be up after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.